Now Jan Hocken interviews Diana Meisenhelter and Brandon Zero with Extinction Rebellion Portland, also known as XR. Diana Meisenhelter has worked 20 years for an anti-poverty agency embedded in public schools, and prior to that did union organizing and was founder and director of Saving Community Development. Brandon Zero is an activist and journalist who joined the Extinction Rebellion earlier this year. His work has appeared on CNBC, BBC, Acruis, Deal Reporter, Bloomberg, and the Financial Times. They'll be talking about why city policy is inadequate and why XR is demanding annual concrete action plans towards decarbonization and net zero 2025. They'll also talk about an upcoming December 12th event. Jan?
Well, Brandon Zero and Diana Meisenhelter, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you.
We'll be taking the temperature on the city's climate action plan and discussing an event organized by Extinction Rebellion, Portland chapter, XR PDX, and what we're invited to do to participate this Thursday. Brandon, let's start with Extinction Rebellion, more commonly known as XR, and what brings this emerging and burgeoning group in the climate justice movement together, and then perhaps talk about a few of the demands that will be taken into the event this Thursday.
Extinction Rebellion is an international movement that uses nonviolent disobedience in an attempt to halt mass extinction and minimize the risk of social collapse. We have three demands: that governments declare a climate emergency, act to get emissions to net zero by 2025, and empower citizens to make our own decisions about climate change. Our tactics help set us apart. We use momentum-driven organizing to try to activate 3.5% of Portland's population to achieve system change. And that's because academics studying the most effective movements have shown that nonviolent acts of civil disobedience are more effective than violent movements, and that no government can resist the demands of 3.5% of citizens. The group began in the UK last year and went international in April.
And I think some of the question of tactics, which we can return to in another show, of direct action and what that encompasses, civil disobedience or different forms of it and different consequences in different jurisdictions legally in this country. But I think part of this tactic, as I understand it, is to move beyond kind of the legislative petitioning, going through the system and demanding politicians to do their job, and being more forcefully taking power in our own hands, so to speak. And perhaps you can address that. The demand, one demand, it relates to the concept of a citizens' assembly. Mm-hmm. And can you say a little bit about that and the demand for a just transition? And then we'll talk about perhaps how to carry those principles into practice this week.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, there are other environmental groups that already advocate for legislative or other forms of political change. We take the view that civil disobedience is a really good way to bring more eyeballs to a situation and actually mobilize people for critical change. The demand that you speak about to have people more involved in citizen assemblies, I think, is really important, because XR believes that in the process of advocating for climate change, we also have to give a larger share of a voice, not just to elected officials, not just to representatives, but to ordinary people in frontline communities, to disenfranchised peoples whose voices maybe haven't been heard in this thus far. And give them a voice so that people who actually live in an environment or in a neighborhood that might be affected by climate change can directly tell the community, tell people in power, this is how it affects me. These are the solutions that I would like to see in the community.
So, Diana, tell us what's happening this Thursday and how these XR principles are carried into practice. First, let's talk about the city's climate action plan and how to assess what's happening with the city on that front.
So we submitted demands in September that the city make a plan for reaching net zero by 2025 with concrete action steps presented each December for the following year. And on Thursday, the city will be listening to reports from utilities about insufficient progress towards the city and county's 100% renewable goals at 3 p.m. in council chambers. The city's climate action plan calls for too little too late, and despite city goals of 100% renewable electricity by 2035, Pacific Core has intentions to keep half their Oregon coal plants, and PGE planning to do only 40% carbon-free by that date. So both are totally unacceptable given what scientists are telling us about the climate crisis. And they also make clear the utilities do their strategy of tailoring their approaches to the markets, which means they might, through voluntary consumer purchase programs, get closer to renewable energy goals for electricity in Multnomah County, but they will continue business as usual in most of the region, further contributing to climate disaster. So every new scientific response paints a more dire picture, and pushing for annual steps and net zero this decade is a reasonable response, since we don't know yet the impact of multiple feedback loops in the albedo effect. Without clear steps, the rapid managed decline of fossil fuels is unlikely to move forward. Even a checklist with clear concrete action steps would be better, because the latest IPCC report stated that global decarbonization of at least 8% annually needs to happen to avoid the worst effects of climate catastrophe, and more given here in the United States, since we're second only to China in emissions. If Portland can't reach the net zero within the IPCC timeline here, who the heck will? We need concrete annual steps to get there.
So, Brandon, perhaps you can weigh in on this point that it's not just, I mean, one issue is the speed of moving to renewables and other key benchmarks. But I think what you're suggesting, Diana, is that the institutions and the corporate structure that govern the energy system in this state and elsewhere have to respond to the political will of the people. But there are all kinds of mechanisms for undermining and greenwashing and appearing to do more than they're doing. How do you look at this issue from an XR perspective, that it's not just about pushing up the timetable, making these changes to renewable by 2025 instead of 2035 or 2050, but also how they're brought about, you're saying, is important?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't want to de-emphasize the timeline. It is still very important that Portland and the entire world move to decarbonize by 2025. But you're entirely right. One of the approaches that XR takes is to look at whether the utilities are actually changing their energy mix in real time. And what we've seen is, despite the fact that cities like Eugene, like Seattle, like Tacoma are run almost entirely on renewables, that Portland still uses something like 67%, Multnomah County still generates 67% of its energy from fossil fuel related sources.
Including coal, right?
Including coal, that's natural gas. And, you know, despite all of our grandest ambitions for carbon capture technology, that simply isn't being used at scale. So if we look at the attempts that we need to make, the concrete steps that we need to make to decarbonize, we see that utilities are using cash that they generate from those fossil fuel, selling those fossil fuels, to purchase energy credits instead of closing the plants that are the source of the problem. So that's what we mean when we say take concrete steps. We want to actually take action so that plants can decarbonize now.
So what would be happening at the City Hall? Can you say more about what's happening at the City Hall this Thursday? Do either of you want to also talk about whether the Portland Clean Energy Fund, the ballot measure that was passed as, I think, a progressive measure last November, is part of the assessment? And do we want to also recognize progress where it's made?
Yes, the city has done some good things. The people passed this ballot measure, and Portland is starting to implement it, hopefully this year. And this is an example of U.S.'s fourth demand, or the USXR's fourth demand, which is a just transition to an equitable society.
And that is part of that. Was that part of that proposal?
No, but what I'm saying is the Clean Energy Fund is a very good example. Local groups like Verde, who is working to employ people of color, frontline communities, to do solar and other clean energies and do weatherization and all of the kinds of things we want to be seeing, as well as community-based and owned production of energy. All of those kinds of things are are being talked about and hopefully implemented through the Clean Energy Fund, which the city is also defending from attack. The city's done some positive things in terms of doing a risk bond study on trying to have companies that are fossil fuel companies take responsibility if there's disasters, because that's been happening more and more, as well as denying Zenith a permit that will go under Front Avenue. However, there are...
You mean, can you just say a bit about what Zenith is in reference to Front Avenue?
Yeah, Zenith brings tar sands oil from Bakken, which is one of the worst polluting oils, and tries to export it to Asia and other markets. And the city has a no fossil fuel infrastructure except for regional markets policy that they just it was challenged in the courts, and they just made the tweaks necessary to put it back on the books, which is a step in the right direction. However, if we're not focusing on decarbonization, going down every year with concrete steps to get us to net zero, we're really missing the boat, and it won't affect the things. And that's why we're having a rally this Thursday, and I'm going to turn it over to Brandon to talk about
that.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're taking our message to City Hall directly on Thursday, and anyone is welcome to join. Come to the City Council meeting and judge for yourself whether Portland is making sufficient progress towards its own goals. So on Thursday at 2 p.m., Extinction Rebellion will sit in on reports from Portland utilities on their progress for shifting towards renewables. We'll sit in silent protest as we hear how companies that rely on our power, that we rely on for our power, explain why Multnomah County still sources 67% of its power from coal and natural gas. So come on out. We'll be wearing red and sitting in silent protest due to City Hall rules. And then join us at 4 p.m. outside of City Hall as we demand concrete actions that the city take in 2020, next year, to move Portland towards net zero emissions by 2025.
So can you say more about the Winter Uprising? I like the tone of that. XR is known for a certain style in street theater, a theatrical style that is about, I think, movements that are successful, also creating pleasure and joy and a kind of celebratory tone as they confront very daunting problems. And I think XR kind of really, really expresses that dynamic in successful movements between joy and anger and despair.
Yeah, I mean, we do have, as you mentioned, at some of our protests, we have people called the Red Rebels who will sort of facilitate a mourning process that we all are undergoing as our planet endures climate change in ways that will leave our society, our environment irreparably changed. At the same time, we do also elevate our voices. We've had sing-alongs at other protests, carols. We've, obviously had people in megaphones to give speeches. It's a dynamic event, these protests, that usually sort of try to bring in both anger, education, and a sense of mourning for the magnanimity of the situation.
Mm-hmm. As well as kind of joy and the possibilities of a transformed world, or anticipating a different way of thinking about pleasure and joy beyond kind of commodity culture that capitalism creates.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is one of the core values of XR. And if people want to participate in a way that means that they can't come out today, on Thursday, that's fine. The next best thing to do is to call the mayor's office and register your voice that way. And the next best way is to go to our website, xrpdx.org, sign up for our newsletter, and that way you can join future actions to join us on the street.
Because there's a lot coming down the street.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, just in closing, maybe say again where to meet, and that this is a response to an action in response to the city's climate action plan being presented at City Hall this Thursday, and our listeners are encouraged to come and join the action at City Hall, sitting silently in protest inside the city chambers of City Hall. What's the address there?
Yeah, that's 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue. Kicks off at 2 p.m.
And then if you can't meet that or can stay longer for the Winter Uprising, that'll be outside City Hall.
Yes.
From 4 to 6. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Brandon Zero and Diana Meisenhelter. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Here too at KBOO.
Thanks.
10,000 years, man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday.